Hey everybody, Josh Searson of World Alternative Media here, and of course we're joined by Tim Pachote of the Liberty Advisor, and let's talk about Deutsche Bank again. It's one of our favorite subjects here at WAM, as the bank is just signatory of the entire system worldwide. I believe it's going to be the major domino to fall that's going to cause a domino effect worldwide. It's debatable. We'll go into that in a bit. But also, I just want to first of all brief everyone on how crazy this Deutsche Bank story has been over the years, because every week something terrible comes out about Deutsche Bank. As I speak, their share price is down 2% over the last 24 hours, but they've been a steady tailspin for 10 years now, and obviously they failed at their attempted merger with Commerce Bank about half a year ago, and there's news out of the bad bank attempt. They were downgraded. They were downgraded by the S&P. They have been laying off people left and right. It's just tens of thousands of people over the last year or so. Their derivative exposure is just beyond crazy. It was $75 trillion when we first reported on it in early 2016. Today, it's somewhere around $45 trillion, and that's not that much of an improvement, guys. It's bad news for Deutsche Bank, especially since the GDP of Germany as a whole is around $3.5 trillion, so that's definitely not good. But I wanted to get into another recent story regarding Deutsche Bank and its failure to, stand the test of time. As this article out of the Financial Times says, Deutsche Bank offloads assets to Goldman Sachs as part of restructuring. And as the article goes into, Deutsche Bank has offloaded a portfolio of emerging market debt derivatives to Goldman Sachs as Germany's biggest bank rids itself of billions of euros of assets as part of a radical restructuring. Chief Executive Christian Sewing in July announced plans to shed about 282 billion euros in non-core assets in a move that would shrink its balance sheet by a fifth. Deutsche Bank moved the securities that it would either sell or wind down into a so-called capital release unit. Deutsche hopes that in ditching the unwanted securities, it will be able to unlock capital that can be used to help meet some of the restructuring costs. The transaction with Goldman Sachs covers derivatives with a notional value of about 47 billion euros, according to people briefed on the matter. However, one of the people said that the transaction's effect on Deutsche Bank's balance sheet is smaller than the headline figure, as its net exposure to the derivatives was below the 47 billion euro notional value. The notional value of a derivatives contract represents its overall face value, but does not reflect the money that is at risk. Many derivatives mature in the short term and have little risk or are hedged with other trades. Deutsche Bank and Goldman Sachs declined to comment on the transaction, which was first reported by Bloomberg, because deny, deny, deny. That's the only way you're getting out of this, guys. A number of global banks are eyeing the assets and securities that Deutsche Bank is seeking to offload. Earlier this month, regulators approved the sale of its prime brokerage and electronic equities businesses to French rival BNP Paribas. The sale is part of the restructuring that also marks a retreat for Deutsche Bank from its global ambitions. And I quote, "We made significant progress in reducing risk-weighted assets and leverage exposure," Mr. Sewing told analysts last month, stressing that the bank was on track to meet its full-year asset reduction targets. The so-called capital release unit, in which the unwanted assets are housed, accounted for more than half of Deutsche Bank's losses during the first 9 months of 2019. So, Tim, we've talked a lot about the desperation of Deutsche Bank to pull themselves out of the rut that they put themselves into many times before. Can you go into what this means for Deutsche Bank, this most recent news regarding their attempt to their crazy restructuring plan in general? What do you think?
Thanks for having me on, and happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. But yeah, Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs and Deutsche Bank here. It's funny how they had to create a bad bank to try to get rid of all their bad assets. I mean, it almost sounds like it'd be a lot easier for them just to, maybe just make a good bank and just offload like the few good assets they have over there. It seemed like it'd be a much much easier thing for them to do. But yeah, when it comes to Deutsche Bank and everything that's going on, I mean, it's showing that they've still managed to lose that unit, that capital release unit has still managed to lose $1 billion, even despite, you know, shedding off all these quote unquote bad assets. And I think if you also read into what Goldman Sachs is saying, it's like, oh, we bought this not necessarily to make money. We weren't really trying to make profit. You know, we just wanted to have an inroads into, you know, all their clients and, you know, all this emerging market debt that we were able to purchase. And then it almost sort of reminds me, you know, of the article that we did just a few days ago on Africa. So if you guys haven't seen that, you guys can check that out. But on the, but the whole, the deal with China having influence in Africa is that, you know, that they were able to take over all these different ports. And so part of me is thinking, well, maybe Goldman Sachs, you know, being the, you know, vampire squid that they are, that maybe that they're buying up all these assets because they'll say, hey, you know, Zimbabwe or whoever else you are, you know, you owe us X amount of billions of dollars. I noticed that you guys have some nice gold mines over there. You've got some nice diamond mines. You've got nice ports over there. And, you know, well, hey, we'll just be nice guys and we'll just take those and then we'll just relieve you of your debt. Or we'll just you know, finance your debt. So that way, instead of owing us, you know, $2 billion, you'll really end up paying us, you know, $10 billion on a $2 billion loan. Things that are seen time and time again.
Yeah, right. And I have to ask, though, going forward, because obviously banks around the world are going bankrupt. If you look at their own balance sheets, the cash to deposit ratio is dramatically low among many banks, the United States, Canada, Britain, Germany, China, wherever you look in the world. It's really over the top crazy when you actually analyze this stuff, which most people aren't analyzing and taking into account. But with the global everything bubble, with these fears of a complete currency collapse or reset worldwide, I think Deutsche Bank really stands out in this controversy regarding, I mean, they've been dealing with scandals for years, one scandal after another, spoofing markets, etc. And on top of that, their share price has been diving for years. Their derivative exposure has been crazy for years. How long do you think Deutsche Bank can sustain this pressure? I mean, there's been a lot of talk that they're being downgraded to a small lender. Now, this is one of the most important banks in the world. It's a bank that Trump has had his money in. Can you go into what you see in the future for Deutsche Bank?
Yeah, one of the things that's really hard to pinpoint, you know, exactly when this will burst. And I remember walking out of the movie The Big Short, and people were asking me, what do you think will be the next Big Short? And this is before even you and John were even on my radar. I remember telling them that I thought Deutsche Bank was going to be that bank. Now, if we didn't have a communist type system right now, you know, with central banking, I mean, central banking is a tenet of communism, one of the 10 planks of communism. Right. That absent that, I mean, in real interest rates, we would have already had, you know, the you-know-what hit the fan, you know, across many different sectors, not the least of which would be Deutsche Bank. And so when you're able to, you know, float, especially over in Europe, you know, 30-year bonds at 0% or even have negative interest rates over there, it basically is able to have all this stuff and malfeasance, malinvestments go on for a lot longer than anybody can predict, you know, just because, you know, they're giving, you know, that slow drip, or really just a fast drip of their monetary heroin and cocaine that basically keeps them alive. So it's very, very difficult to, you know, pinpoint, but while we sit here and wait, it's going to create more malinvestment. It's going to create more, you know, just general economic kind of malaise. If you take a look at, there's different, like the VIX, the volatility index, I mean, that's already back down to, you know, I think lows since like 2018 type lows, right, before everything started popping off last year around this time. And so, that's the tough thing, is that nobody really knows. But I think when I was walking out of the movie, The Big Short, around, you know, this time, probably, I don't know what it was, you know, probably 2 years ago, probably 3 years ago. And I think Deutsche Bank stock was probably, I'm just guessing right now, it's probably like 16 or 17 today. It's $6.57 as I'm looking at it right now. It's not financial advice that I would not, you know, it is risky to short something. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend people go ahead and do that, because these banks can, you know, there's always rabbits that can pull out of their hat. And then being Deutsche Bank and being the, you know, the main bank of Germany, you know, what's their willingness to let just Deutsche go under? So unfortunately, what they do is nobody wants to be the one that everything collapses on their watch. And so people do things to extenuate this circumstances, create like a Japanification of, you know, the entire world. So unfortunately, you know, there's no, you know, headline of, you know, Deutsche Bank's going to crash tomorrow, because nobody knows. But it is, and I can tell you this much, it is the central bank's problem, is why it got to where it is today right now.
And it is eventually going to collapse. And essentially everyone kind of sees that. That's why the shareholders have not been happy. A lot of people have been selling off Deutsche Bank shares and getting the F out. And I wanted to mention, you know, earlier this year I was in Frankfurt, Germany, and I decided to try and troll Deutsche Bank in person. I went up to the door. They didn't want to let me in, obviously. I had to dodge falling bankers and all that kind of stuff. And one thing I noticed that stood out was that Commerce Bank is like across the street, essentially, from the Deutsche Bank building. And there was an attempted merger at the time when I was there that was happening. And I found it interesting because it seems like their attempted merger with Commerce Bank, another terrible bank, their attempted merger was just another example of their addiction to debt and derivatives and trying the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Almost like they're like, well, we have all these problems that were created by this thing that we were doing, so let's do more of that thing to try and get out of this problem, creating problems down the line. What do you think about the addiction by a lot of these banks and major financial institutions, their addiction to debt, their addiction to derivatives, their addiction to kind of going in circles for eternity, hoping that the same things that created the problems in the first place are going to solve those problems?
Well, I mean, the big problem is that they're all Keynesians. They all actually do believe this. I mean, it's not necessarily even like a gigantic conspiracy. I mean, at the very, very top, yeah. But I mean, but yeah, for the average rank of person over there, even probably the CEO type level, you know, these guys, they all actually believe this. They went to schools that promote Keynesian economics. That's all they've ever known. I mean, you can go to most major colleges right now and graduate with an economics degree and not even know what Austrian economics even is,
right,
or even have ever even heard the term before. I mean, I myself is an example of that. That I think I was too. My school didn't allow us to graduate with a dual major in business and economics. But if they had, I was only two away from it. And maybe in those two classes I didn't take, maybe that's when they mentioned Austrian economics. But I'd never even heard it even addressed at a top tier school in the communist state of New York. And so, you know, these people actually do believe, you know, that's what they've been taught. And just like, you know, they've been taught that, you know, war is what gets us out of depressions. Right. And it's not like when the troops are coming home, it's actually what got us out of the depression. And, you know, they believe, you know, people like FDR, you know, how he got us out of the depression, even though, you know, he was in there for, you know, whatever, three or four terms. And, you know, basically did everything to extenuate the fact that it took forever.
War makes money, but also spends a lot of money. And we can't forget that in Britain during World War II, we saw income taxes go as high as 98%. Good old Winston Churchill, what a fiscal conservative he was. But I do want to mention something that I think also is important to point out in this video. And I'm not going to speculate, but obviously, as this Metro News article says, banker who signed off Trump loans found dead after killing himself. So I'm not going to speculate. I don't know if he Epstein'd himself, like if it was another Epstein situation where he definitely didn't kill himself, or maybe he did kill himself. I mean, around a time of crises, we see a lot of bankers commit suicide. We saw that during 2007, 2008 as well. And I'm not going to count that out as a possibility, but also I can't help but think about what happened several years ago when that Monte de Paschi de Siena banker jumped out of a window, allegedly backwards, I think from the second or third story, killing himself. And then men in suits went up to him on video security camera staring at him and walked away. It was super mysterious. The widow tried to get an investigation done into it and nothing came of it. There's always really sketchy stuff like this coming out around the time of a financial crisis, entering into a financial crisis. Did they kill himself? Did someone else kill them? Do they know too much? What's going on? I don't know. I'm not going to speculate. But with that said, I do want to finish this off, Tim, by going into some of the solutions, because I believe there are more solutions than problems. And in this time, I mean, so much debt, from household debt to government debt, and it's getting so over the top. Everything gets so centrally planned. And at the end of that cycle, they try to centralize what was the problems that were created by the centralization in the first place. And it just gets peak debt. We get to peak debt. And what does debt do? Well, it pushes people down a bottomless pit of debt, forcing people to ask for a ladder up from the government and the banking system, pushing them into perfect servitude, that dependence that we talk about all the time that people need to break free from, because it's destroying humanity. They're holding money over people's head and making slaves of the populace. And a lot of people are dealing with some serious financial issues these days. and it's just getting worse and worse, and the homeless rate's skyrocketing. You could see that in Germany. Walking around Frankfurt, Germany, it's alarming. It's truly alarming around the downtown area, seeing the amount of homeless people, and that's everywhere in the world right now. It's just the poverty is skyrocketing. Tim and I have done videos on this before regarding how central banking plays into what we see with the homelessness and the poverty we're seeing all over the world. But anyway, with that said, Tim, can you just go into some of the solutions as an advisor? Obviously, you're speaking from opinion and people should do their own due diligence and everything like that. But you are accepting clients and you do have some solutions. And I'd like to hear what you have to say about that.
Yeah, thanks, Joshua. One of the things that I haven't really talked too much about is doing actual financial planning, where that's, you know, one of the things that you should know is, hey, how much money can I, you know, have in retirement? And not necessarily even retirement. It's like if it's a day where maybe it's a work optional lifestyle, or the day where you want to be able to tell your boss, you know, screw it, I'm out. And it's nice to have, and actually had a conversation with that with the client earlier today where, you know, that actually they were shipping lots to Germany by coincidence at a major Fortune 500 company. And he's, you know, just turned 62. And I let him know that he actually could tell his boss, you know, to take a hike. But what we did, and you'd be surprised, and this is not his situation, but let's say somebody could live off $100,000 a year in retirement. There could be a gigantic difference of, you know, let's say you start off, you know, with 105 versus 100, you know, maybe with 105,000 a year, you might end up, you know, going broke at, you know, 20 years into retirement, but at, you know, 98,000, you might be able to die with, you know, $400,000 left over. So what we do is we can model in different scenarios for exactly what's going on in your exact life. So, you know, maybe you have a pension, maybe you don't, maybe you've got 401k or IRA savings. If you're like most people, you have never done a plan, you have no idea what's going on. So we spend all this time, all this energy getting degrees, getting these fancy pieces of paper and working to get all this nice stuff. But then we have no idea what it's going to look like in terms of our actual retirement. So if you guys want to book, so, and this is something where I just started doing this again in terms of, because in the initial move, I was too busy, you know, taking on new clients, doing this planning, but we just started kicking this off back again. So I am available either on hourly consultations, or we have planning packages, or if you bring over enough money to invest with us, it actually all gets wrapped inside of one, where you can not only get great investment advice, but you can also get clarity in terms of what it means for your exact situation. Right. So I'd recommend you have a plan, you know what to do, you know, we can even model in, hey, what if you retire year one and the market drops 20%? So I can then put in that type of scenario as well, and really like a worst case scenario. And I'd say right now, right, for almost probably 99% of people, if they were had the market go down like even 10% right when they retire, basically it's game over for them. That is called a sequence of return risk. And we're trying to protect against that risk along with all the other risks that are out there, like market risk, yeah, inflation risk, deflation risk.
Right.
It's a sequence of return risk that I mentioned, market risk. And anyways, I appreciate this opportunity. We'll have a link down below where you guys can schedule with me. Even if you don't end up becoming a client, I think you'll get a lot of good information with me. And I'm available for Signal calls, for privacy, Zoom calls, whatever it takes. But ultimately, I'm giving clarity to people. It's fulfilling for me because I have my clients let them know, you know, really what their life work, what it really entails in terms of, you know, can you retire or can you not retire? What does it look like? And there's lots of different things we can model out. I've seen just about every situation possible thrown at me, and be happy to, you know, create a win-win situation for everybody here.
Right. It's sad to see so many people taken advantage of in so many ways. And I think you give a lot of people a lot of solutions for that. People could check out thelibertyadvisor.com. We have a link, a bit.ly link, linked below the video in the comments as well as the description. I think it's really important. And those of you that want to become a client, but I think it's really important that people understand that at the end of the day, the most important thing in your life, the most important thing, ability of yourself that you can do going forward is be responsible, be independent, be educated, try to understand the world around you and make up your own solutions instead of being dependent on the people that are dependent on the dependence of the masses, and then utilize that as an opportunity to push people into further subservience and control them and lead them to the slaughter. It benefits a lot of the banks. It benefits the financial system. It benefits the government to have a populace in debt and in fear, and a populace that is unable to take care of themselves. And I think it's really important that people just break free from that system to the greatest of their ability and be independent, free human beings. You have to live by example, live free. Don't talk about freedom, live freedom. And also, obviously, as I always say, it's important that people look towards food, water, shelter, self-defense. They're not gathering things for the toughest guy on the block. And of course, gold and silver is wealth insurance, as historically has been the case. I'm saying that in my opinion, and that's not investment advice. And I actually look at gold and silver as much more of a wealth insurance than investment anyway, at the end of the day, historically, especially going forward, as well as cryptocurrencies that are decentralized, fundamentally useful, and blockchain infrastructure technology that can be utilized to replace the old guard system with a great new free market system that is based on individual demand and the good of the populace, the freedom of the populace. Anyway, I do want to say, you know, most people don't care about any of this. Most people care about what, you know, dress Meghan Markle's wearing. And most people only care about, you know, the latest episode of whatever TV show they're watching. And, you know, they prefer to just do Netflix and chill and not have to worry about all this stuff. I think it's important to bring the concerning aspects of that affect civilization today to the forefront of the news, because it's not about the fear. It's about pushing people to take action and live without fear and live with the comfort of knowing these things and being able to support themselves and being able to combat the problems of the world. Takes the negative problems to create positive solutions. And anyway, I think that it's important that people do their own due diligence. Check the links below. As I've been saying, free information is at risk on the internet right now, as on December 10th, YouTube comes in with their new terms of service that are, it's definitely going to end with millions of channels deleted, if not demonetized. And channels, if they say, this is the craziest part, it has to do with COPPA legislation. If people say that their video is for kids, which these videos are definitely not, but if people say the videos are for kids, they get demonetized entirely for the most part. They are blocked from being suggested from people, and they're essentially shadow banned forever. And if people say it's not for kids, and some entity decides and looks at one of our videos and says, well, technically speaking, children could watch this video, then we get fined $42,000, guys. $42,000, which we're not paying. I am going to stay and speak for myself right here. I'm going to say right now, I will not pay $42,000. I refuse to pay the fines. If I have to leave the country, I'll have to. But I'm not paying $42,000 to the stupid U.S. government because some idiot watched one of our videos and decided technically a kid could watch the video. So I'm making that statement now, and I stand by it, and they can put me in cuffs. I will not pay $42,000. But nonetheless, I don't think it'll get that far, because we'll probably be deleted or completely demonetized anyway from YouTube, which is why we need your help. We still need to raise about $1,200 in monthly pledges using Subscribestar or Patreon to help support WAM past January 1st. We need that. We need those pledges. It's the only way we are going to survive as a media. Free information is at risk. All of the independent medias are at risk of going down, and not just independent medias, gamer channels, makeup reviews, toy opening reviews, everything is at risk right now. Cartoons, animators, artists, musicians, everyone's at risk right now, which is why you should join us at float.app, float.app. Find me at Josh Searson. Find Tim at the Liberty Advisor. Find us there. I'm also at Wham. Find us there. Follow us. Follow us there. That's where we're going to be when YouTube inevitably brings down the gauntlet and we lose our channel.
The thing is, it's not even about the people whose channels are going to be deleted. It's about the people who are never even going to have a chance to even have a channel, because I remember being so hopeful in 2016 when I first started trying to get into the game, and all of a sudden it's like, oh man, this is so easy to try taking advantage of all this stuff. And I was giving me so much hope, and not because, you know, oh, hey, I could be some big shot. It's because, you know, hey, if there's, you know, 1,000 other people who are reaching 1 million people a week, you know, it's over for them. And I was so happy. And now it's like, well, it's basically impossible to do what I did in 2016. Yeah. And unfortunately, the door is closed now for everyone else behind us, unless you want to tout, you know, the CNN line, or you're backed by billionaires like Ben Shapiro or something else.
I think it's really important, Tim, to point out an even more important thing is that the viewer won't be able to access any information. They're going to be stuck in this weird purgatory of just mainstream media talking points, indoctrination, propaganda. The only people that they're going to be able to get information from is like ABC covering up pedophilia, BBC covering up pedophilia, Jimmy Savile,
Anderson Cooper, Mr. CIA, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's all government talking points, Operation Mockingbird style talking points, and it's really crucial and important that people stand up and do something now or forever hold their peace, because we're all going to be going down if they don't.
One other quick comment. So yeah. I was so Sam Tripoli got his page reinstated. I know that you know that, but I was looking at one of his latest videos, and the letter that YouTube actually sent him actually said in there that they would bar him from opening up other channels in the future. So I mean, it's basically like a death knell. Like, they take you down, they're not only taking you down for right now, they're also then barring you for their legalese through opening channels in the future underneath different names as well. And so you're like banned from Google.
Yeah, I need to make it clear, like, I don't do this for money, and I went several years without making a cent off of this channel. I did it because I have a passion for it. I've turned down offers by mainstream media to host shows for a lot more money than I've ever made here at World Alternative Media, but I have a conscience and I want to be able to sleep at night, and I don't care about the money. However, having enough to be able to live on when I'm working 18 hours a day producing videos is very important, and that comes down to you guys. You are the change you wish to see. You are the future of free information. I'm the guy that spreads it along with all these other people in independent media, but we need you guys to make it possible for us to spread that information, or soon information will die in darkness and we will not be able to go back, and we're going to end up with a very science fiction type Logan's Run civilization, and we do not need that. We do not want that. And for the sake of ourselves, for the sake of our families, our children, and our grandchildren children down the line, I think it's more important than ever to fight this information war. We were winning 2 years ago. We're losing right now. We need you guys. It's the only way. You are our only hope, to take a quote out of Star Wars. Anyway, I really appreciate you joining us today, Tim. Make sure to check the links below. Help us out any way you can. You can become a client with Tim, and we got all those links down below. So make sure to get involved, guys, any way you can, for yourself, for the future of mankind. We need you guys. Until next time, this is Josh Sirotson with Tim Pachote signing out from World Alternative Media. Find the truth. Be the change. Like what you see here, Wham! Don't forget to check the links below. GoFundMe, Patreon. We cannot do it without you guys. Every donation is extremely, extremely appreciated, as we're getting incredibly shadow banned. We've lost 80% of our audience since January of 2019 and counting. They are ripping us apart here on YouTube, and the only thing we could do in the meantime as we prepare for the next big step is to ask for help from the viewers that support our free information that we try to post on a daily basis. You can also find us on Subscribestar, where just $1 a month, that's all it takes, $1 a month is all it takes to truly make a huge difference. If everyone gave $1 a month, it would change everything for independent media, and we could win this information war, and we can defeat the mainstream medias eventually. And of course, on Subscribestar, we post subscriber-only content that you'll only see on Subscribestar, so make sure to pledge there, become a patron. That makes a huge difference, guys. And also, don't forget to check out our Bitcoin address below in the comments and description, as well as on the screen for you to scan if you please. And also, don't forget to subscribe to us on the alternatives. We will likely be deleted by YouTube in the next 2 years. It's already happening on a vast scale. So make sure to find us on float.app. That's float.app at Josh Sigurdsson, as well as at Wham, W-A-M. Float.app is replacing every social media, and I mean, it's just incredible the opportunities it provides for not just creators, but for the average person who wants to get away from these nannies telling them what they can or cannot see. They plan to replace Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, Tumblr, Reddit, and Patreon. You could subscribe to us on Float and pledge with cryptocurrency. It's really innovative. We are also on BitChute at World Alternative Media, as well as so many others. Minds, PocketNet. You can find us at World Alternative Media on Instagram. There's many options. And finally, don't forget to join us at Anarchapulco 2020, the famous event, the best liberty event known to mankind, other than perhaps Anarcho-Vegas 2020. There are two major events coming up that we are extremely excited about, and you can use promo code WAM, that's W-A-M, and save 10% on your tickets to these legendary conferences. There's so many amazing people speaking there. You won't want to miss it. So make sure to support in any way you can, even if it's just sharing our videos, pressing like, pressing to be notified. Anything helps, folks. You are the change you wish to see. Thanks for watching, everyone. And until next time, this is Josh Searson signing out from World Alternative Media. Find the truth. Be the change.